Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage, it's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
George is known as one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, and everybody respects him. And for him to be available, I've told you this before, I've known him since we were 25 years old when he was working for Mike Godfrey at the University of Kansas, and we spent a week together talking football, you know. And, you know, those are the connections that you make, and he was a great coach then, and he's a great coach now.
That's John Harbaugh talking about George Warhop, who took over unfortunate circumstances as offensive line coach as Joe DeLisandro passed away prior to the season, and the offensive line was considered to be one of the weaknesses of the team heading into the 2024 season, and shaky early but really stabilized late. It's news for the SBD at 81.057 The Fan, Nolan McGraw on this Woman Crush Wednesday. And we'll get to the offensive line. We'll start with two guys who are free agents heading into the offseason. Ronnie Stanley's one of them, who was just named to the Pro Bowl as a replacement there.
Yeah, I tell you what, you got to be happy for Ronnie. He took a pay cut, cut it in half from 15 to 7.5. So give him a lot of credit for that. And Ronnie, I mean, he didn't like watching film of himself last year because it was, to be totally honest, it was ugly. He was horrible. And they were alternating him. So, I mean, that probably, you know, I mean, that probably takes a real hit to a guy's psyche because, you know, what, 4 years ago he was the best tackle in football. Then he had all these injuries and he just couldn't anchor. You know, he's basically playing on one leg and they were just running him over. And it was, I'll guarantee you, when he would go in there to watch film on Monday, it was embarrassing. You walk in there and you're like, damn, there's not many plays I really want to watch. So give Ronnie a lot of credit. Worked his butt off. Stayed here in the off season. Didn't go to California. And got in a weight room. Got his strength back. And the big thing that we talked about at OTAs and minicamp is, can he anchor? And I even remember talking to Harbs about it. Can he anchor? He said, we'll find out. And he was able to anchor. And he had and he made it to all the practices throughout the season and stuff, which was good for him. So he had a very good year. For the Ravens, that was a big plus because they didn't really need to chip. He would be able to handle those pass rushers out there. Ronnie's never going to be that knock-you-off-the-ball, nasty-type guy, but he's very athletic. He's always been super athletic. And he can pull and do all those things. And he's smart enough and agile enough where he can get his body in position to make the blocks he needs to block. So for Ronnie this year, excellent year. And Ronnie's going to get paid some money. That's why I don't think he's going to be back next year with the Ravens, because he's going to get more probably than they can handle.
Matt Bowen, ESPN.com, as a matter of fact, has the rankings for the top 50 free agents. Ronnie's number 3.
Ooh.
Behind T. Higgins and Trey Smith. Kansas City guard.
Yeah, because what did John Cooper say yesterday when we asked him about O-line? Bad. So that is good for Ronnie Stanley and his agent that it's not a great year. So all you got to do is you can go watch, 19 games of film on Ronnie this year and see what you're going to pay for. And he's going to get overpaid. And good for him. So he is not going to be back with the Ravens because Matt Bowen, I mean, Matt loves to study film. He played safety for us at the Redskins. Super smart guy. And Matt studies all that stuff extremely well. And Ronnie, a tackle out there, he's going to get paid.
Patrick McCary, also entering a free agent season, considered for years to be the Swiss Army knife, forced into a starting role and responded for the most part rather well, I would think.
Yeah, and the big debate prior, you know, during OTAs and the minicamp is he's too valuable to be a starter. And why was that the case? Because he could play left tackle, he could play left guard, he could play center, he could play right guard, he could play right tackle. And if you and if he started and you lost him, you're losing basically five guys. So they wanted. So there was a lot of thought, a lot of thought. And I want to say, you know, because I mean, Steve Bisciotti told me, he says, if he's one of the best five, he should be playing, right? You know, so I'm sure that he put that message to Eric and to John too. So it took Voorhees getting hurt, and then McCary came in, and then the kind of the old line kind of came together. And the big thing with McCary was his back. He's got this bad back, and can he hold up throughout the season? And that was the big concern for him. Can he hold up through 17 games? And he missed one. Missed one game. So he showed that he could. And I think I thought he wore down a little bit there. And then when they got the bye, after the bye, he looked a lot better. He was refreshed and stuff. And I thought he played really well after that. So McCary's probably going to get paid too, because he can be. Oh, I mean, if Rosengarten's going to left tackle and they could put McCary starting at right tackle, that would work too. But I think he's probably going to get paid also, because he can play so many things, and he could probably be the chief starting left tackle. He could probably start at a lot of positions for a lot of people, and what's that worth? I mean, look at the Bears. The Bears got a ton of money. Washington's got a ton of money in free agency. All those teams. Tell me a team that doesn't need O-linemen. You know, so McCary's going to get paid too.
Now you have McCary, Stanley, free agents, Linderbaum, solid, probably on the verge of getting a contract extension. He's your center, Pro Bowl center at that. Then you have Fa'alele, Pro Bowl alternate, and Roger Rosengarten. So grade or just judge the center to the right side.
Yeah, I would say with Linderbaum, I think he'll be better next year, because he missed, what did he miss, like a month training camp and missed early on? And I think that got him behind, you know, and he missed a lot. So I think Linderbaum, you know, strength-wise and everything else, because his game's about leverage, because he's not a big guy. He has problems with big people because he's not a big guy. The thing that helps him a lot, he was a wrestler. And what about wrestlers? They got base, they got balance, they got good hands, they got strong hands. Why? Because wrestling is all what? It's all about the grip. It's all about grip, and that's what he can do. And he's good at comboing up. Plus, he's got nastiness to him. So Linderbaum, he's going to be the center for what, the next 8 years or, you know, whatever it is. And I just hope that he can have a total healthy offseason, OTAs, mini camp, and then into training camp. Just be healthy where he's not missing all that time. But he's a solid starter in there. And then Fa'alele, you got to give old Fa'alele a pat on the back, man, because he was like this big guy that hadn't played a ton of football, that was a right tackle for the Gophers, and he wouldn't use his hands, he wouldn't punch, he didn't show nastiness, but he was a decent athlete. I remember being at the rookie minicamp, and they had them, like, stepping over hurdles. And I remember saying that, I think it was to Munkin, or I said, damn. I said, he can bend, you know, he's got flexibility, but he's just so big. You know, and the thing with him was, you know, coming into the season and even during training camp when they stuck him in there at the right guard, he can do the athletic stuff, but he was just so big and conditioning was terrible. He just couldn't sustain down after down after down. You know, you just wear down. He'd be huffing and puffing. And as the season went along, and I think he had to have gotten in better shape, he started using his hands more. And on the pulls, he wasn't on the ground. And he was pulling and pushing up. And he's got over 36-inch arms where he gets up on the linebackers, he can punch. You know, is he good at reaching and stuff? He can get there, but he can't sustain. And that's what it is when you're 380 pounds. But he was alternate to the Pro Bowl, so a lot of people liked what he can do. When he has a big man on him, he's good. And down blocking, he can clear out the whole side. So I like the potential. Some people say, you know, move him to right tackle. I say, hell no. I said, keep him at guard because he's been playing good at guard. He's comfortable at guard now. And let him, he's going to get better. He hadn't played guard before. So let him go from year one to year two as a guard. And then at right tackle, Rosengarten, kind of same type thing. Another guy. Wasn't ready. Body's not ready. I mean, it's still not strength-wise. And I think he's going to be a lot better player next year because he's going to be a lot stronger and get rid of all that baby fat that he's got. But he's a really good athlete. They got a lot of, like, Lindenbaum's a good athlete. Flele's a good athlete. And Rosengarten's a good athlete. So, you know, they got some good athletes up there. And Voorhees is a real good athlete. So they got good athletes. And with Rosengarten, he can pull, he can do all those things. He's got the feet to play left tackle. He gets stronger. I think he'll be, by the end of the year, he was solid.
Speedy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We have more breakdown coming up later in the hour. Get to the receivers, tight ends, and wideouts, of course. But coming up next, we'll count that dough, buy or sell. Where's our midweek money? Stay tuned for that. That Frank Burleson, Hall of Fame college basketball writer. Talk about what's going on in the world of college hoops. Maryland at Wisconsin tonight, one of the better games of the week, actually.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Finney and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Finney and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artist and band, send a request, applause, support, text line, Nolan McGraw's waiting for you. Got Frank Burleson, a Hall of Fame basketball writer, joining us bottom of the hour. College basketball, that is. Before we get to the many sports subjects of this day, let's count the dough by ourselves.
Well, the Dow's up 29. The S&P's down 15. NASDAQ is down 113. DraftKings down a penny. And Under Armour's down a penny.
Get things started in the NBA today, where the Dallas Mavericks, they're tumbling down the standings after Luka Doncic suffered that calf strain on Christmas. They currently sit in the play-in tournament territory, and with the trade deadline now just a little over a week away, you might think that they might try to strike a deal to turn things around, or at least until Doncic gets back. No timetable for that, by the way. He just has the All-Star break marked on his calendar as a rough outline, a rough goal to get back on the court. Buy or sell, Bob, the Mavs should not panic and buy at the deadline. Still enough time to turn it around.
To get back to the finals level turnaround, I'm going to sell that. Maybe tweak some things for sure. Gafford got hurt the other night, and he came back with a vengeance. Kyrie's been banged up a little bit. If they want to win an NBA title, they're going to have to add some things. You see, De'Aaron Fox apparently is available in Sacramento all of a sudden. So we'll see what's going on here.
Even without a Super Bowl during his tenure with the Eagles, Andy Reid remains the unquestioned top coach in team history. Maybe Doug Peterson had a chance to surpass him after he brought home the Lombardi with a backup quarterback, but of course his tenure didn't last long enough. Now Nick Sirianni has Philly in the Super Bowl for the second time in the span of 3 years. What would a ring do for his case? Well, for starters, probably gets a new contract, more security, maybe a little less grief from the fan base, too. But Vinny, buy or sell, with a Super Bowl win this year, Nick Sirianni will surpass Reed as the best coach in franchise history.
I'll buy it. Andy couldn't win it, you know, and he's lost one. And if he wins one, I agree. I think he will be. And he not as long as Andy's been there, but he's been more successful right off the get-go.
Yeah, what was it? Those four straight NFC championships?
Yeah.
You know, that was Reed's big thing on his resume.
You know, his thing was kind of like Lamar. Can't win the big one.
Back to the NBA.
Didn't Doug Peterson win a Super Bowl there?
Yes. Though?
Yes. But he, yeah, like I said, not enough tenure to be in that conversation. NBA, nothing has gone right for the Sixers this year. Easy for everyone to turn their attention to Joel Embiid, his health. Former MVP, it just hasn't been on the court. The team's suffering as a result, but their issues run a lot deeper than just him. How about Paul George? Was signed in the offseason to round out their new big three, but he's also had availability issues earlier in the year and is now posting Tobias Harris-level stats with his new team. Even without Embiid, a duo of Paul George and Maxey probably should have led to better results than what we've seen. buy or sell, Bob, Paul George is actually even more to blame for the Sixers' failures than Embiid this year.
I'm going to sell that. I mean, he's a contributor to the cause because this is a career low year for him. And by the way, Philly did beat the Lakers last night. But Embiid has now missed as many games as he's played in his NBA career. Tyrese Maxey's brilliant. He had over 40 last night. But Paul George, a declining dude. Hey, and you can rip old Tobias Harris all you want. Because remember, they paid him and not Jimmy Butler, who wound up going to Miami, who now wants out of there. But he's kind of a veteran leader helping that young Pistons team sniff the playoffs this season.
In the NFL here, Liam Cohen was able to get great things out of Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers offense this past season. They finished top five in both scoring and yards. Now he'll be tasked with getting the Jaguars offense back on track as their new head coach. He said in his introductory press conference that he will be the one calling plays and has a full-scale plan to make Trevor Lawrence as dynamic as possible. Now, Trevor Lawrence, on an individual level, his stock probably as low as it's ever been right now. The injury-shortened season this past year didn't help his cause, but for his career, a passer rating of just 85. Buy or sell, Vinny, Cohen will be able to unlock with Doug Peterson, there he is again, what he couldn't unlock in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Doug Peterson, like Bob said, he won a Super Bowl, you know, and as Liam Cohen's been a coordinator for 1 year, and he looked like Opie Taylor in that press conference. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. I say maybe it's a disaster.
Hey, Baker needs to start getting some credit for all of his coordinators are going getting head coaching jobs.
No,
the guy in Carolina the year before. And we'll wrap up here in college football. James Franklin picked up a nice addition to his coaching staff over the weekend, stealing defensive coordinator Jim Knowles away from Ohio State, a rare instance of a guy leaving a prominent program for a lateral position elsewhere, let alone in the conference. Last season, Knowles helped craft the Buckeyes defense that gave up just 13 points per game. The Nittany Lions weren't far behind. They finished third in the conference, 16.5 points allowed per game. College football writer Tom Fornelli calls it a significant win for Penn State and a serious statement to the rest of the Big Ten. Bob, are you buying or selling that take?
Serious statement? Sure. I mean, what does it say about Ohio State? I mean, yeah, Chip Kelly got himself a national championship ring, leaving a head coaching job at UCLA to become a coordinator. But Penn State's all in. They're trying to get over that hump. They made the Final Four this year, and congratulations to them. They could be stealing Maryland recruits, which we'll talk about later in the week with Keith Kavanaugh. But yeah, we'll call it significant for sure, because if they don't win national championships soon with Franklin and Happy Valley, the fans aren't going to be happy, and they're not real happy with him right now.
The other thing, Nolan, is that Ohio State, 8 of the 11 on defense are all going to be drafted this year. And you know what's kind of funny is, like, Chip Kelly supposedly in on a couple OC jobs in the NFL, but I don't know how much, because Notre Dame was interested in Knowles and Oklahoma. But, I mean, how much did Ohio State really fight to keep him? That's a thing.
Well, apparently him and Ryan Day didn't exactly see eye to eye. At least that's what I was reading from Fornelli.
Okay.
Well, I can, yeah. Ryan Day looks like a weird dude, but I don't know.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk to Frank Burleson, who's not weird. College basketball with him. Maryland, 10 games left in the regular season. February is on Saturday. We're getting close to March Madness, believe it or not. Talk about the powerhouses in the country. NFL Lunch coming up 1 o'clock. Kevin Willard was on the show yesterday. Replay that at 1:15. And then Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Talk about the championship games that were, a preview of the Super Bowl that is. For instance, got Wisconsin tonight, a huge game. Here to talk about that and more. Hall of Fame basketball writer is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show longtime friend, Frank Burleson. Frank, what's happening?
Not too much. Doing well. How about you, you and Vinny, Bob? How
We're
you
hanging doing? In there. And we'll start, of course, with Louisville, because this year Pat Kelsey and his Cardinals have won more games this year than the previous couple of years combined with Kenny Payne. And, yeah, he'll always be scapegoated, even though he was a star player for them way back when. But what, with the portal era and recruiting maybe not as prominent, Frank, because you've covered this sport for a long time, what has led to this dramatic turnaround where not only are they winning some games, they're starting to spank some people here?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, again, not to turn this into a Kenny Payne bashing session, but, you know, Pat Kelsey's a very, very good coach. He's been successful at every level he's been. And this era, and you alluded to it, Bob, in this era of basketball, it's not so much about recruiting or recruiting classes or recruiting rankings or how highly touted your recruits are. It's how you manage a roster, how you navigate the portal, how you evaluate with the evaluation is turned into basically how the NFL and NBA manage free agency and evaluate players within their own leagues relative to free agency and potential trades. It's how you evaluate players based upon what you see on video and a little bit in person, how they've done, already done in college. And obviously Pat Kelsey and his staff did a great job of, you know, bringing in a whole new roster and identifying the guys who maybe weren't the sexy names or highly ranked guys or projected pros, but they were the guys who fit into the system and the way he wanted to play. And so he added all those correct elements and they're meshing at the right time. So he's a good example, I think, of what modern day college basketball and, you know, to Vinny's, as he knows better than anyone, what college football has become, which is not so much signing 30 good prospects every year and maybe four or five of them are ready to play for you their freshman year and you redshirt a class of 20 players and then they develop over the course of a couple of years. That model is probably gone, as it is for college basketball, and it's all about identifying the players throughout the course of the season that you think might go into the portal, and once they go into the portal and they're available to contact, having a good idea which guys you want to contact and which guys you know will fit into the schemes and the way you want to play.
Now, Frank, before we get to Maryland, Wisconsin tonight, Cole Fieldhouse, Xfinity Center down at College Park. Maryland, 5.5-point favorites over the 17th-ranked Badgers. What about Michigan State? They lose two of their first seven, but, boy, they've been hot as of late. They'll go through December and now January undefeated. We know the talent is there, but are you surprised to any level that they're playing as well as they are right now?
Well, I mean, you're never so the course of his, whatever it's been now since 88 or 89 or whatever he became the head coach of this program. Tom Izzo has always been, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for a good reason, and he's so well-respected by his peers. And he's one of those guys that I alluded to who would, you know, he'd sign his shirt at McDonald's All-Americans, but he was a talent developer. He would take guys over the, you know, some guys wouldn't play a lot the first couple of years, and suddenly as a junior, you know, they're very good players, and the senior, they're All-Americans, they're going to Final Four. He does, you know, again, he's one of these guys who I didn't think fit into this new world of college basketball relative to having to change a roster every year. And not only have to change a roster every year, but let's face it, just have to outbid people from players. He's not that kind. I didn't think he was that kind of a coach. And I kind of, in the back of my mind, and I know a lot of people agree with me, kind of saw him as, he's going to be the next, you know, the Jay Wrights, the Roy Williams, the Tony Bennett, who say, you know what, I can't handle what the sport has become. And the part, but yeah, lo and behold, and he was certainly critical of a lot of things about what college basketball and college sports has become, but lo and behold, he's adjusted. They're winning. These guys are getting better. You know, I was doing my Wooden Award to bring down the ballot down to 20 players. I'm going over their roster. I think, you know what, there's nobody on his roster who you would say, hey, this is a huge, definite, you know, now Jason Richardson's freshman son is playing his way into being a potential draft pick. But there's nobody on the roster where you're, he's an All-American or he's this and that. This is a guy who just knows how he wants to play. He'll tweak it if he has to based on personnel. He knows the type of players he needs to be successful. He gets players who accept criticisms. He gets players who accept, less than a lot of shots. They embrace the roles he gives them. lo and behold, again, you know, Bruce Pearl has done is fantastic. If he was coach of the year, it wouldn't surprise me at all. He's one of the great coaches in the sports. But when you look at, you know, where they were, what people saw them in the off season relative to that cliche-ish term talent, and what they're doing now, I mean, this is, you know, he could speak to it better than I could, and guys who've been around him a long time or worked for him, but this has to be one of the really, really, regardless of what happens in the tournament, this has to be one of the really outstanding jobs he's turned in, and, you know, in a career of a whole lot of them.
Who let the dogs out with Frank Burleson, Hall of Fame college basketball writer, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Tonight, Wisconsin at Maryland. Terps three in a row, two on the road at Illinois. And then, of course, the dramatic win against Indiana on Sunday. And Wisconsin, what, 8 of 9? They only lost by 2 at the Bruins. Two teams, Kevin Willard and, of course, Greg Gard. They've had their share of turnover for sure. How do you see this matchup? Because Wisconsin's 2 and 3 on the road, but two of the losses were to Marquette and Illinois there.
Well, as you mentioned, Kevin Willard, another guy who, for a couple of years, and even Greg Gard, you know, he had his critics in terms of, okay, has his type of basketball, you know, the Tony Bennett descendant, all that family tree of guys, is he, you know, is it time to move on? But again, yeah, he's found, like Willard, and of course Willard's got, you know, that big ace in the hole, Derek Queen, is proven to be every bit as impactful, forget just being a future pro, which he is, but being impactful on this level, like a Cooper Flag. And I mean, you look, there's, you know, Rutgers has got likely two of the top three players in the next NBA draft, but that hasn't translated into helping Rutgers, you know, get into the NCAA tournament, much less be a high seed. Yet Derek Queen, what he's done with Coach Willard is, you know, showcase what he could do as a future pro, but help Maryland get to the point where, you know, they're a potential, you know, depending on how things shake out, maybe a 6-5 seed based on what happens in the Big Ten tournament. So I think that's what, you know, the Maryland's, the Wisconsin's, what Marquette is doing, Maryland and Wisconsin and what Michigan State is doing kind of is the template for how you have to be successful in the sport. Is, you know, get a player or two who's going to be a pro, but mainly it's about roster building and chemistry and pieces fitting and obviously fitting within the salary cap or how much you could spend on NIL. And, you know, those are three programs that seem to have managed it pretty well.
Frank Burleson, Hall of Fame basketball writer. Frank, appreciate the time as always. Go feed your dog.
Take care, guys.
There's Frank. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. We'll come back, take some phone calls, reset the program at 410-583-1057. NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Chuck Pagano on Pat McAfee talking about his new job back with the Ravens after 13 years. Hear from him, Kevin Willard at 115. And then Bill Bender from the Sporting News talking about the championship games, the officiating, too much hubbub about that, and preview the Super Bowl just a little bit. Philadelphia trying to stop Kansas City from becoming the first team ever to win 3 straight Super Bowls. John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, talking about Zay Flowers. Hurt his knee last regular season game against Cleveland. Did not play in the postseason. And he's one of the 9 Ravens Pro Bowlers, which actually is going up to double digits because of replacing players. And Zay himself was replaced. But outstanding sophomore season, unfortunately, as we said, could not go. As John said, doesn't look like surgery is going to be part of the equation, but you can never rule things out. Question is, first of all, if we grade him, and he had a Pro Bowl year, as we said, was his absence a factor ultimately in their demise in the postseason?
Well, I'm sure anytime you lose a Pro Bowl player, it's a factor. Just because because they knew prior to that Zay wasn't going to play, so they didn't game plan him in. They would have, although he only had 1 catch against Buffalo in the previous game, so they would have game planned some stuff for him because he's too valuable not to, and he's so dangerous with the ball in his hands. So did it hurt him? Sure. Yeah, it definitely did hurt. Other guys got to step up, but I mean, that's just the way it is. Could they have won that game with Zay? I don't know if it would have turned out any different at all. But just to have him on the field, and maybe it changes up the matchups for Buffalo's defense. That probably helps more than anything.
74 catches, 116 targets, 1,059 yards, 4 touchdowns, 463 in the yak category. So by all accounts, his sophomore season, no sophomore slumps here. Pretty strong year.
No, the guy's a football player. And he was at Boston College. The way he played at Boston College is the exact same way he's playing now, same way he played his rookie year. And, you know, he hasn't changed. I mean, he's still extremely elusive, makes plays. His yak yards is outstanding, makes great catches, and he makes plays. I mean, you want to get him the ball in space, and that's what they do. That's what Todd Monken does, tries to find a way to get him the ball in space. You know, and all that talk when he was coming out, oh, he had 20 drops. I mean, I didn't see it. You know, when I watched the film, maybe when he was younger. And the other thing you got to like about Zay is, because he had a big year at Boston College. Then his last year, he stayed the last year. He had a ton of NIL money being offered to him to go elsewhere. Like Addison went out to SC, left Pitt after having a great year at Pitt. And he stayed. Didn't have a quarterback. Had a great year. Still first-round pick. So I give a lot of credit to Zay. And you just love his attitude. Loves to play. Loves football.
What do you think, Nolan McGraw, Zay Flowers? We talk about picking wide receivers, which has been kind of sketchy for the Ravens historically. That's been a win so far, and it looks like the guy we'll talk about here in a second is becoming a winner himself.
Yeah, I mean, Zay Flowers is a slam dunk. I don't know how else you can slice it. You know, he's made Lamar better, made Lamar more complete, and you saw the difference right away. They had an instant synergy week one last year when they played the Texans. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want to say he got close to 10 targets in that game. I mean, they were feeding him right away, and now you'll get into Bateman. That connection's strong, too.
And that was supposed to be a connection that didn't have a connection. They were disconnected in Paris, and they didn't even know each other was there, if you believe that sort of TMZ sort of thing. But Rashad Bateman, they extended him, didn't get the fifth-year option picked up. First-round draft pick, but boy, did he step up and step up in a big way in his season. And now Rashad Bateman is looked upon as one of the most reliable offensive weapons on this team coming back next year.
I think the biggest couple things you like about Bate is I think he grew up because he didn't have any temper tantrum. His body language was 100 times better. You never saw the disgusted Bateman like you saw the year before. I mean, that's one thing. And number two, caught the ball in his hands all the time. I mean, he had a total confidence in his hands. I mean, he was reaching out, snatching balls. You know, those touchdown passes, he would snatch them, which I love that part of it, too. He just seemed like a much more confident player. And you saw Lamar running down there, hugging him, stuff. So that they, whatever issues they had, and I think a lot of it is probably, if you're a quarterback and your receiver's catching the ball for you, you're going to like that receiver. And I think that's kind of what happened. What I want to see Bate improve upon in the offseason, I would like to see him get stronger because he kind of is he, 6 foot, 6'1"? But he plays light, my opinion. He plays light. He goes down easy. And his yak stuff isn't bad. He's got make-you-miss ability. I just wish he was a little stronger and he could play a little stronger. And I think that'll help his game because he's a phenomenal route runner. He can create separation. Why can he create separations? Because he's got great body control. And that's the big thing. Same, what we were talking about, Tez Walker, what did he need to do? He needs to hang out with Bateman to learn how to run routes like Bate runs routes because Bateman's route running is phenomenal because he can bend his knees. He can get his pads over his toes. He can get in and out of breaks. And he can make sharp cuts because sharp cuts create separation, and he can do that. And that's the thing Tez Walker can't do. But I expect Bate, you know, because he was pretty much healthy most of the year. So he's figured that part out, you know, the soft tissue stuff. And just get stronger and continue to do what you've been doing. And I think he's going to have, I mean, he had what, over 800 yards? Nobody would have expected that. People probably figuring if he had 500, you know, and he was a touchdown maker. He made big plays at big times during the season. In that Buffalo game, I wish maybe if he is stronger, he carries that dude in the end zone for the 2 yards for the touchdown. You know, so that the only thing I'd like to see is just Bate get stronger.
A year ago, we're talking about him as a big disappointment as a draft pick. Now we're talking about him in a big way, and rightfully so, as an asset. And real quick, before we get to NFL lunch, here from Chuck Pagano, tight end room. Andrews, well, you can't just dismiss what happened in the playoff game against Buffalo, but the season coming back from an injury, 11 touchdowns, likely with six. He had big playability. And Charlie Kohler, even though he missed some time, might not be Dave Kasper as a pass-catching threat, but he certainly contributes to the cause. One of the better tight end rooms in football this year.
Yeah, I thought it was a good room. And Charlie Kohler, give him a lot of credit, because in college, he was not a blocker whatsoever. He was awful. He was an awful blocker, but he's 6'7" and he's big. And give the tight end coach a ton of credit for working with him. Because, and with Charlie Kohler, he was a 4.0 in engineering, I think. So he's super smart. And he understands, I'm sure, listen, I'm not, you know, the nasty guy that's going to knock people off the ball, but I know how to get my body in front. And he did a hell of a job that way. You know, getting his body in front and coming down. And, you know, if you put your head in the right position, you can move people. And he understood all of that stuff. And I thought Likely, you know, to me, I just wish Likely had more opportunities, because every time he had opportunities, he produced. Whether, and it didn't matter how big the game was. He made plays. And he is, other than Zay Flowers, might be their best yak guy, because his lower body strength is unbelievable. He's hard to tackle. He's not a good, you know, he's a good blocker on the outside, whereas Mark Andrews can't block a lick.
5880-1057 The Fan. Chuck Pagano's back, and he was on earlier today. Pat McAfee Show, ESPN. Have what he's had to say coming your way. He's the senior secondary coach. Kevin Willard, we had him on yesterday previewing Wisconsin, which is coming up tonight. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 on The Fan, and then we'll talk championship games and Super Bowl. Bill Bender from the Sporting News here on The Fan.